This is the Bible News Prophecy Program, bringing you news and analysis of world events in the light of Bible prophecy. The following program is brought to you by the Continuing Church of God.
This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal. Dr. Teal, I have heard much talk about a Jubilee year recently. What have you heard?
Well, actually, in its newsletter yesterday, the Temple Institute started off with quoting Leviticus 25:12, "For it's a Jubilee, it shall be holy to you." Then they go into Leviticus and it says, "You shall count for yourself 7 sabbatical years. On the Day of Atonement, you shall sound the shofar throughout your land, and you shall sanctify the 50th year and proclaim freedom." Now, some, by the way, have attempted to tie in the Jubilee with the Feast of Pentecost, because Pentecost means 50, and there's 50 years associated with the Jubilee. But Pentecost comes in the springtime, but the Day of Atonement comes in the fall. However, you also have the Church of Rome, and they use a different period for their Jubilee.
The Temple Institute says the Jubilee year is a once every 50-year event. So what about the Roman Catholics?
They proclaim a Jubilee every 25 years. Huh. And there's an article I saw this month about it. "Holy year or holy mess? Vatican and Rome began the dash for the 2025 Jubilee with the papal bull in construction." And that this is a tradition that they do. They're doing all kinds of construction. But their Jubilee year starts December 24th, 2024. It runs through June 6th, 2026. So it's more than a year, and it's in the winter time. It begins and ends. And they're going to work on fixing the facade of the Basilica of St. John Lateran. And they're also going to fix other things, because they expect millions of pilgrims to come during the Jubilee year.
So the Temple Institute says the Jubilee year is once every 50 years, and the Church of Rome says it is once every 25 years. Who's right?
Oh, the biblical Jubilee is every 50 years.
So would you define the Jubilee year for us?
Yeah, it's interesting how we got the word Jubilee year. It comes from kind of a misapplication or a different type of translation of something called the year of the horn, or as it says in Hebrew, the year of the yovel. Yet when it's translated into Latin, it sounds a bit more like jubilous. So it ended up becoming called the Jubilee year in English. So as far as the Bible, we go to the book of Leviticus chapter 25. We read about it. You count 7 Sabbaths of years, and then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, to make the trumpet to sound throughout the land. You consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. The 50th year will be Jubilee to you. Verse 13, in this year of Jubilee, each of you will return to your possession. Basically, what happened during the Jubilee, it was a reset for society and a new chance for those who hadn't handled their finances as well as perhaps they should have. People would get their ancestral lands back if they had sold them. It only happened once every 50 years, so if you didn't die in childhood, you'd probably experience one in your lifetime, perhaps two, if you lived really long, maybe even three. But people would have a chance for a restart. And basically, people would get their land back who lived in the country. The city rules are a little bit different. Now, the world, of course, doesn't observe a Jubilee year, but some have said that perhaps that's what causes a variety of economic problems. There was a Russian economist who talked about what's called the K-wave, and he had something published in 1926. And his major premise was that capitalistic economies had long wave cycles of boom and bust, the last 50 to 60 years. And he looked from the period of 1789 to 1926 to his research. But others have found that the 50, 60-year cycles of catastrophe and renewal were also observed and recorded by the ancient Mayans of Central America and by the ancient Israelites, according to this particular article. So people have seen economic disturbances throughout the years, And some have wondered, maybe that correlates to the fact that society doesn't keep the biblical Jubilee year. Now, of course, since the 1% is the one who would own most of the land, in modern times, they wouldn't want to turn it back over in a Jubilee, and they have a lot of political influence. So they don't want the debts to be forgiven that way.
Right. Well, since the Jubilee year is once every 50 years, when is the next one?
That's hard to know for sure, because we don't know when the children of Israel actually really observed it. Now, I had somebody who emailed me a long time back, was certain that Jubilee was going to begin October 8, 2011, and he was upset I wouldn't proclaim it because I wasn't convinced of that year. I told him I didn't think it would be then. I told him that God's got seems to have a 6,000-year plan for humankind. I think that'll be up within the next decade or so. Since 6,000 is divisible by 50, I didn't think his period that started in 2011 could possibly have been that. I've seen lots of calculations. One supposedly is based on the reign of ancient King Josiah, pointing to 2027 or 28. Another pointing to Hezekiah, says maybe 2050. The Talmud seems to point to 2038 in some places. But we really don't know. And some, by the way, thought recently, because of Jonathan Kahn, Messianic Protestant, proclaiming the Shemitah year, they thought that after the Shemitah year, that the Jubilee was going to begin September of 2022, which it didn't do, by the way.
So how does God's fifth holy day, the Day of Atonement, relate to the fulfillment of the Jubilee year?
Well, I kind of wonder about that. And I think we can tie it into some things with the millennium and God's kingdom after that. If you go to Revelation chapter 20, I want to start with verse 1. John writes, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, a millennium. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and put a seal on him, that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years are finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while."
So that's interesting. The Jubilee year actually occurs with the locking up of Satan for 1,000 years. What else?
Well, that may be when it begins, but John also wrote, "And I saw thrones," starting verse 4, Revelation 20, "and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and did not receive the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. They came up, these others came up in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, for they shall be priests of God and of Christ and will reign for 1,000 years with him." Well, Satan's going to be gone. And this is like he's pictured as the Azazel goat being put into the wilderness on the old Day of Atonement ceremony. You can read in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 8 through 10.
Are there any other biblical tie-ins with the Jubilee year and the millennium?
Yes. When Jesus comes to reign, that's time I'm going to read from Isaiah 61, verse 1. He's going to, quote, "to proclaim liberty to the captives." And that's what's supposed to happen on the Day of Atonement for the Jubilee. To proclaim such liberty. And for this reason, some believe that Jesus is going to return either near or at the start of a real, not a fake, Jubilee year. Now, I want to read something about the Jubilee from the old Worldwide Church of God. This is from the Plain Truth magazine back of July, August of 1984. "Every 50 years, a Jubilee was to be proclaimed nationally. An inheritance could be sold, leased out, only until the Jubilee year. That year it would revert to its rightful owner. City property, however, could be sold permanently for development. A person leased out his land to get it back before the Jubilee, however, if he so desired, he could repossess it any time by canceling the lease and refunding the fair prorated portion. He could get it back. Thus, a person could not be permanently deprived, at the very least, of a tax-free house and home. This way, the agricultural lands will be treated in the world tomorrow. For in order for Micah 4:4 to be fulfilled, everyone shall sit under his own vine and his own fig tree, which is a peaceful condition for the age to come, millennium. It'll be necessary for each person to have his own piece of land, either in a town or a village in the countryside. You know, what a different world that'll be, end quote. Yeah, there's going to be real positive economic reform coming beyond what we've heard from various politicians throughout the ages.
So this is a totally different understanding of the Jubilee than what is proposed by various governments today. You said there is a positive economic reform coming, such as?
Well, first of all, we'll have the millennium, but a century after that, something even better is going to come. If we go to Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1, we read, John writes, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." So you're not going to be worried about losing your job, somebody foreclosing on you in terms of economic things, etc.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. Continuing, we read verse 5, "He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, and he said to me, It's done. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts." So we won't worry about physical water either. We have what we need. "He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That time is coming. That's an additional good news that we proclaim right now. But unlike the Jubilee of the Hebrew Scriptures, that time of freedom is not going to be limited to 1 year. It's going to last for eternity. Now let's read something from the literal standard version of the Bible, which is probably the most recent attempted literal translation of the Bible that's come out. So Isaiah chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. "For a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us." Now we know that's Jesus. "And the dominion is on his shoulder. And he calls his name Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." Yes, Jesus is God. "Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace." "And of the increase of his dominion," or his government, "and of peace, there is no end." So it's not going to stop. Unlike the Jubilee, which they don't really observe anyway, but which would have lasted the year when they did do it.
Right.
Continuing here, it says, "On the throne of David and on his kingdom, to establish it and to support it in judgment and in righteousness," unlike modern governance, "from now on, even for all time, the zeal of Yahweh of hosts does this." Yes, we're talking about eternal peace and righteousness. Now, that's the ultimate Jubilee. Now, we want this to come, so what should we do? We should do what Jesus said. Matthew 6, verses 8 to 10. We should pray for God's glorious kingdom to come, the ultimate Jubilee.
Thank you, Dr. Thiel. For more interviews with Dr. Thiel, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.
This Bible News Prophecy program was sponsored by the Continuing Church of God. For more information, including access to our free literature, visit BibleNewsProphecy.net or www.ccog.org.